Hello, you're listening to The Joys of Teaching Literature. I'm Scott, and we're here talking about, well, the joys of teaching literature, all things high school English, and also just other things that apply to teaching in general. And today our topic is books, because obviously that's majority of what we do is, I think, at least as far as what everybody else is doing across the country. Of course, there's a lot we're doing with nonfiction and essays, persuasive essays, and different things like that, but the novel, the fiction novel, and I have a couple of nonfiction books in here too, but really just talking about what books we can teach our entire class. I know there's a lot of people doing book clubs and, you know, making reading optional and different things like that to get creative with meeting your kids where they are, but I think there is, that's sort of why I'm talking about this, because I think there is an opportunity to find a book that everyone likes, and more importantly, find a curriculum that works for everybody. I think every kid can have, there's going to be a book they don't like, it's going to be too much of a challenge for them, but then there's going to be other books that are not a challenge to them, that are easier for them to read. I don't think every single book has to be perfect, but that's kind of, that's what we're talking about. You know, what kind of curriculum can we have where every student will enjoy reading the majority of the books that you teach that year. And if it is a more challenging book for some readers, I think there's a way of learning how to teach challenging texts where you can teach really anything that you want. You just have to give them enough time to read it. You know, if it's a 400-page Jane Austen novel, you know, you got to give them enough time to read and make sure that the assignment that you give while they're reading is something that you know, makes it possible for them to read and not just throw their hands in the air and say, this is 400-page Jane Austen novel, I'm not going to do it. So if you want to know more about me, I have a website called theteachersworkshop.com. I offer online professional development for high school English teachers. I actually recently updated my Teachers Pay Teachers store with a couple of different novels, which sort of led into this blog post because I was looking through all the different books that I've taught. When I read a book, I have a particular way of taking notes where I track topics, as many as 10 to 20 topics. So as that topic sort of emerges, I take a note of where it occurs on the page, and so that's how I basically teach my classes topic by topic. So I don't go through a book chapter by chapter and do sort of plot-driven analysis of a book. I do topics, and so those topics will be the sort of formula, if you will, for their essay or for, you know, how they think about the book, and will hopefully lead them to think about other topics and motifs or patterns that emerge in the book. So that's sort of what got this started. So this one's called Great Books to Teach in High School. So this is kind of fun because I think every teacher, the longer that you teach, obviously the more books that you probably have taught, unless you get sort of caught in a couple of different situations. One, you have to teach a small number of books every single year, and that list never changes, and you're never given the opportunity to change that list. But for the most part, I feel like the longer that you teach, you know, people sort of reconsider what books should go in the curriculum. You know, why don't we try this, or why don't we pilot this book? I'm very, very lucky to work in a district that really not just encourages us, but really aggressively encourages us to experiment with different books and to pilot different texts to see if they work, if the kids like them. And so I'm lucky there. Actually, my first job, I remember, it was a private school, and they just said, and I said, well, so what books are we teaching? And they said, what do you mean? And I was like, well, what's the curriculum? Like, what books am I teaching? And they said, oh, you just pick whatever you want and tell them to go buy it. Like, okay. So I just picked all my favorite books from college and high school, and that's how I, you know, that was my first year of teaching. There was no set, like, you have to ask these questions and have these units of study that are linked in this way. There was just none of that. I just did whatever I wanted. So it kind of depends on your situation. Like I said, you might have to be lockstep with other teachers. It's never easy to pick a novel because, you know, that's the first thing. It's got to be board approved, right? If you teach in a public school, it's got to be something that the board approves. And that's important because, you know, if somebody has a problem with, especially in this day and age, you want to just say, yeah, this is the curriculum, so if you have a problem with it, you got to go talk to somebody else and not me. And I'm not the one that selected this book. I have to teach it. So that's good to fall back on. I mean, sometimes you want to defend a book, but I don't know. Yeah, I teach in a district where nobody would ever really argue with whatever book we taught, but money could also be an issue, right? If your district doesn't have enough money to buy a whole new set of books. But that's the big thing, right? If you're saying, I want to teach this book, then that might mean buying, you know, hundreds and hundreds of books. If it's something that everybody's going to teach it on the grade, you know, one particular grade level, you have to buy books for that whole grade level. So that's a lot of money. So, that's going to be one issue that comes up. You know, a thing I really love to, I remember my first year at the school where I teach now, I saw two lighthouse sitting in a corner. Like, I was getting a tour of the book room from my supervisor, and it kind of caught my eye. I actually got goosebumps because that's like my favorite novel. I love that book. And so I said, wait, we have two lighthouse? Like, I can teach two lighthouse? And she said, yeah, anything that's in here, you can teach. So, that's the advantage of trying new books, is that you, over the years, you'll sort of accumulate this collection where you can kind of go back to the old stuff, or, you know, put the old stuff. Yeah, last year I had a book club where I put the old stuff into the book club. And so I had copies available for students if they wanted to read particular books. So that's another advantage of keeping the curriculum sort of updated. You of course probably might have to teach. Now, again, I'm very lucky where I don't have to do this, really. And we were actually laughing, the senior teachers and I were sort of talking about how somebody asked, like, what books do you teach in common? And I thought, oh, yeah, probably Hamlet, maybe Charles Dickens. But then I was like, wait, actually, I don't teach Charles Dickens anymore. And somebody else was like, I didn't teach Hamlet last year. And I was like, you didn't teach Hamlet last year? that's not necessarily an expectation at my school. It was at one point. I think most schools probably have that rule where if you teach the same course, you probably have to teach the same novel. So you have to sort of be on the same page with what books to teach with somebody else. So that's a challenge. It's always a challenging conversation to determine what is literature, what's in the canon, what's not in the canon. Agreeing, like, just a lot of different things that you're trying to do when you pick a novel. You want the kids to love it. You want to love it. Right, it's obviously got to be good to teach year after year. It's got to be relevant to the world we live in. You might not have any say in the matter, you know, recording this podcast where you consider all of this stuff. But that this just might not be an option for you to suggest books. But, you know, I think that's always a good conversation to have. You know, I read this book. I think it would be really great in the classroom, and definitely better than, say, this book that we taught. Ultimately, it's about managing your class in a way where the kids are really interested in. You know, we know how this important it is, because if it's a book that all your students don't like, you no matter how much you try to get them to like it, because I do think there's something to that. I think teachers can make a really bad book great, depending on how you teach it. But for the most part, right, it makes it a lot easier when it's a book that all the students like. You want the book to be able to sort of ask big questions about the world, and that's not always easy to do. So what are the things we're sort of looking for in a book? We want the book that we pick to check off a lot of boxes. The book should be fun and easy to read. Some people call that a page turner, but also should be a challenge. You know, Faulkner, for instance, was something that some kids liked, but not all of them. But the kids who really were into, you know, the poetry of language really loved what he was doing with the stream of consciousness. You want language this is why Shakespeare is great. You want language that's filled with metaphors, symbolism, motifs, foreshadowing. You want complex narrative techniques and structures that involve shifts in voice and time. That's interesting, right? Fiction, that's sort of what makes fiction fiction. It makes it different from say, poetry or any other language, is that it has a narrative voice that's unique, that tells a story in a way that only gives you access to certain facts, unless it's omniscient, right? But that's a lot of writers now are playing around with who's telling the story and when and how. If it's in a letter or they're actually verbally telling a story, that sort of thing. You know, Kite Runner plays around with that. Almost every book plays around with who's telling the story. So that's something always to consider. A first person, regular run-of-the-mill first person narrator is also, you know, can also be great, because the challenge there is, what information do they not know, and why don't they know that information, and how does that affect the telling of the story? If we don't know, if only this one single person is giving us their consciousness, you don't get the consciousness of all these other characters, right? So that's something to consider, at least, is like, what is it about the narrative technique of the book that makes it, you know, wonderful to read? But again, all that figurative language, the figurative language is going to give the students the opportunities for close reading. So you don't want to just breeze through a book and read a passage out loud and talk about it, read a passage out loud and talk about it. You want to really get, you know, where you can put it on a document camera or project it onto a screen and really go line by line, where you can talk about a single passage as a poem, you know, where there's certain syntax and different grammatical patterns that emerge, or repetition and parallel structure, and all the sort of interesting sort of sounds, kinds of different sound techniques. You know, you want to be able to talk about all of that stuff. And so you need to pick a novel that contains not just a couple, but multiple opportunities to spend a whole class period on one single passage. You know, we know how valuable that is, especially if we're teaching a novel for the first time. You know, it helps you sort of get through the book in a way where you look at a single passage and it, you know, the context is important. What's happening in that scene? Why is this such an important passage? All those different things. And so you're looking at it, you know, like we would a poem, but also in the context of this much larger story, and you're looking at character development and thematic development all in the context of this one passage, where multiple topics might intersect and connect in a single passage. So we know those passages, right? We can probably list them off the top of our heads for our favorite novels, but we obviously want to pick a book that's going to allow students to do that. Of course, we always want to be thinking about, you know, contemporary writers. Obviously, as time moves along here, you want to pick books that are still relevant. And some books don't stand the test of time, and that's just a part of it, and that's okay. We don't just keep teaching a text because it's 2,400 years old, right, in the case of Oedipus, Sophocles. Is there something amazing about teaching a book that's really old and talking about how long it's been around and how it's still important to read for different reasons? Yeah. But it's also important to look at some of our older texts, you know, as time moves along, to find something that you know, is of the current century, say, or even the 20th century. We don't even update, you know, if you think about the 50s and 60s, how many books from the 50s and 60s do we teach? You know, obviously, I think most literature, there's a sort of golden age of literature probably in the 19th century, in the mid 19th century, where a lot of great novels were written around that time period. But, you know, that's part of the challenge here, is that as time moves along, the literature grows, the canon grows, and we got to start to think about who are the great sort of contemporary writers. Of course, diverse writers. You know, we want to have a lot of different voices in our curriculum, and that's extremely important. And so that's what we're seeking to do here. The curriculum should contain stories about romance, power, internal conflict, and beauty, but also topics like oppression, racism, war, poverty, and death. Great books challenge the status quo. They make us question why things are the way they are. They force us to consider unconscious behavior. That's one of my favorite parts of reading, is figuring out what's going on deep down inside the character, even unbeknownst to them. What is really driving them? They make us laugh, cry, and think. The literature we teach should allow students to relate to the story, but also put them in the shoes of a person living an experience unlike their own. Books help students understand the full story behind a person, not just a single thing that defines them. So yeah, that's all a lot right there, but I think it's not always about, hey, see yourself in this character. It's how does this character, that's why I read. My experience is fairly limited. And I always read because I wanted to read about the thing that had nothing to do with me. I didn't want to see myself in the story. I think, you know, Catcher in the Rye is a book like that, where some maybe people see themselves too much in the character and don't like it, or and there's value in that, you know. Not that I saw myself in Holden, but you know, yeah, there's different things why we relate to different books. You know, Great Gatsby is the same kind of reason, but even in there, the romance part of it is what gets a lot of teenagers. And sort of ropes them in because they have that experience. And like, oh, I have that experience. Let me read more about what it's like to love somebody and lose them and heartbreak and all that stuff that that book's about. Yeah, of course, other things as well, too. But I think music is a really important part of that book. So that's why kids love it, too. How they talk about jazz music and the parties. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I can, you know, I can relate to all this. But then there's Night by Elie Wiesel. And that's like, when I read that book, that's an experience that very few people have had, that you need to, not have, but to you want to put yourself in the shoes of going through something like that, so you can understand, politically speaking, what the ramifications of treating people a certain way are. Right. And so, you know, that's something we want to sort of keep in mind too. It's not always about, you know, having a, you know, it's a doors and windows thing, or you want kids to be able to see themselves, but also be able to enter into another space that's not, you know, familiar to them at all. Most importantly, I think the stories in our classrooms should produce amazing, deep conversations. That's the key thing that I'm looking for, is that, does it start really great conversations? And it does do that year after year after year. There should never be one simple interpretation of a story, right? If it's easy to interpret, you're like, the character did this because of this, and that's an easy explanation, that's not fun, right? We want a book that allows 4, 5, 6 different students to raise their hand and respond to one of my single questions with a variety of different answers, right? Not where they're necessarily like arguing with each other. I don't really like the debate style where people are arguing over what's right and wrong, but just that there are multiple ways of looking and explaining something, where it gets more and more complicated the more and more we talk about it in the classroom. And that's really what makes great literature, is that we just keep going with the conversation. And then we look at a different passage, and then there's more questions, and then we're sort of thinking back on the passage from the beginning of the book, if we're at the end of the book, and we're sort of comparing these different moments for the character and thinking about how they've changed. And there's got to be a lot to talk about. And that's what I think is the most important thing. If it's a simple text with a simple message, that's not exciting and fun, and it's not going to be something that we're excited to teach year after year, right? We want to feel like every time we teach a book, it uncovers new things for us. Hamlet still does that for me. There's still things that come out of that book that where I feel like I'm learning about my life, the world that we live in, and so that's important. Great stories should feel fresh every time we teach them. The canon will always include whatever stands the test of time. That's the key thing. And let's not forget that students should also have some say in what they read. I always give my students a survey at the end of the year where they can tell me if you were the teacher, would you teach this book again? Or would you, if you were taking this class, would you suggest this book to the next class? So that's important, I think, because that surprises me. Some of the books that I don't like, they do like, because I, you know, have a master's in literature, and I value things in books. Like, I value the playfulness of language sometimes more than the story, right? And our kids like a good story. They like the characters, right? So, you know, that they shouldn't be the decision maker there, but it definitely helps us make those decisions. If everybody hates a book, it doesn't stand the test of time, right? That's kind of what I'm getting at. If all of our students hate this one book and they tell us that, then obviously it shouldn't be in the canon because it hasn't stood the test of time. That's an extreme example, but you know, we do want to include them a little bit in our consideration of what books we should teach. Whenever I meet another English teacher, the conversation almost immediately turns to what novels we teach, right? That's the common thing that we share. It's like, oh yeah, you teach English, what are you teaching now? So I'm just going to give you my, imagine that we're in a conversation here, and if you want to post on my blog the books that you love teaching, You can do that, but I'm going to give you my list. I gave you a couple different lists. The first list includes title books that I wouldn't hesitate to teach again, but I love teaching. I think the students loved learning, reading. And then the second list includes books that I probably, if I had the choice, wouldn't teach again. And I also have some titles from summer reading assignments. I got some poets in there. And then I have books that I created units on, but I never taught. So the first set is the books that I love, and this is basically what the title of this podcast is, the great books to teach in high school. So these are the books that I suggest. But this is not a comprehensive list because I have not read every book ever written. I'm just giving you the list of books from my curriculum that I taught before. So I'm not saying that this is the list by any means. I don't think anybody has that list. Yeah, that's why I think this is an ongoing conversation, right? All right, so here's the list of books that I love teaching and I would do again. To the Lighthouse by Virginia Woolf. Beloved by Toni Morrison. Knight, Elie Wiesel. Hamlet, William Shakespeare. The Great Gatsby, F. Scott Fitzgerald. Jane Eyre, Charlotte Bronte. Emma, Jane Austen. Exit West, Mohsin Hammam. The Kite Runner, Khaled Hosseini. The Namesake, Jhumpa Lahiri. The Catcher in the Rye, J.D. Salinger. Things Fall Apart, Chinua Achebe. Great Expectations, Charles Dickens. Dubliners, James Joyce. The Fire Next Time, James Baldwin. Mouse 2, Art Spiegelman. The Metamorphosis, Franz Kafka. Gulliver's Travels, Jonathan Swift. A Small Place, Jamaica Kincaid. All Quiet on the Western Front, Eric Maria Remarque. Romeo and Juliet, William Shakespeare. The Unvanquished, William Faulkner. The Color Purple, Alice Walker. The Count of Monte Cristo, Alexandre Dumas. The Scarlet Letter, Nathaniel Hawthorne. Death of a Salesman, Arthur Miller. Alright, so those are the books I love teaching. The ones that I wouldn't teach again. Macbeth, William Shakespeare. The Sorrows of Young Werther, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. Their Eyes Were Watching God, Zora Neale Hurston. Hard Times, Charles Dickens. A Man for All Seasons, Robert Bolt. Everyman, unknown. The Oedipus Plays, Sophocles. Othello, William Shakespeare. Siddhartha, Hermann Hesse. Beowulf, translated by Seamus Heaney. A Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man, James Joyce. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, Tom Stoppard. Dr. Faustus, Christopher Marlowe. Sir Gawain and the Green Knight by J.R.R. Tolkien. Translated by Tolkien. The Old Man and the Sea, Ernest Hemingway. Equus, Peter Schaefer. That play is wild. The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, Mark Twain. 12 Angry Men, Rheingold Rose. The Heart of Darkness, Joseph Conrad. Master Hal and the Boys, Othel Fugard. To Kill a Mockingbird, Harper Lee. Of Mice and Men, John Steinbeck. All right, and then, so that's my list of things I probably wouldn't teach again. It's not like I'm saying I hated it. I'm just saying if I had the choice, I wouldn't do it again. Summer reading. All right, I don't know if I'm suggesting these or not, but I just figured these are, again, books that I've read and have taught in the classroom. So Savage Inequalities, Jonathan Causal. Educated, Tara Westover. Into the Wild, John Krakauer. Let the Great World Spin, Colin McCann. Passage to India, E.M. Forster. Frankenstein, Mary Shelley. The Awakening, Kate Chopin. Wuthering Heights, Emily Bronte. 1,000 Acres, Jane Smiley. 1984, George Orwell. Fun Home, Alison Bechdel. The Fire This Time, A New Generation Speaks About Race. Edited by Jesmond Ward. Yeah, and then this short list of books that I have, units on, but never taught is Home Fire by Kamala Shamsi, Giovanni's Room by James Baldwin, Song of Solomon. I think I'm going to teach that this year if I can. I was sort of granted the permission last year, so I'm going to probably take that on. Song of Solomon, Toni Morrison, Invisible Man, Ralph Ellison, The Bluest Eye, Toni Morrison, Station 11 by Emily St. John Mandel. And then here's my list of poets, because we can't forget about the poets, people. Elizabeth Bishop, Tracy K. Smith, Walt Whitman, Robert Pinsky, Thomas Sayers Ellis, Rumi, Maya Angelou, Emily Dickinson, Amiri Baraka, William Blake, Nikki Giovanni, William Wordsworth, T.S. Eliot, Wallace Stevens, Dylan Thomas, Aya Monet, Langston Hughes. All right, that's my list. I went quick, so maybe you have to replay it. But I have the blog on theteachersworkshop.com if you want to just read the blog. And I have links to all the units, if I did create a unit on those books, if you want to see that. So, all right, yeah, I did this because, it's early August, and I feel like there's still time to squeeze in a reading of a book. So you could, at the very least, maybe just go to your supervisor and say, hey, I read Invisible Man, or I read Jane Eyre over the summer. And would those kids like that book, Dubliners by James Joyce? So you could kind of look at the list and maybe think that you would want to read those books and make a case, to the person in power to update your curriculum. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you really like the show, please go and give me a review wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you.